Welcome everyone to Deeper Conversations Coaching. Today's Wednesday, November. I just was looking. November 3rd, 2021. Happy November to all of you. It was November when we spoke last too on Monday, but you know, right. It's still new. So I'm Julie Kismari. So glad to be here. We have Chuck, Diane. I'm just going to change my name over here. Jenny, Rhonda, Lalia, Yayoi, and Debbie joining us today, and whoever else is joining or watching the recordings, I welcome you to take it all in. Nice to see you, everyone. Hi, welcome, Debbie. So today we're going to be doing some coaching, and I'll be starting with the class agreements. We'll move into a brief introduction of everybody so that we all are familiar with who we all are. And then we'll open up to any queries or comments from Monday about creating awareness. No, evoking awareness. I'm still caught in the old competencies. And then we'll go into the coaching. So why don't we start with the class agreements? And Thea won't be with us today. She's always or often read the class agreements. I think Pam read them last time. Does anybody have them handy? Bless you. I thought somebody sneezed. So, did somebody want to read them? No, now the hand goes down. You want to read it, Yayoi? Okay.
Sure, why not? Okay. Seven class agreements. One, confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. Two, positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Three, hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Four, presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Five, beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Six, self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. Seven, coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgments are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Yayoi. Everybody agree? Agree to the class agreements? Great. So why don't we, just to ensure the cohesiveness and familiarity, if you want to just introduce your name and where you're calling in from and a quality that maybe you're not perhaps in line with today, but that it's your intention to bring to the call. And you may already be in line with it, but something that you want to bring or are feeling that you're bringing into this generative space. Chuck, I'm looking at you. You're in my top left corner. Do you feel ready?
Oh, yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Chuck Burke. I'm located in Fairfield, Connecticut, just north of New York City, about 60 miles out. Today, I'm thinking about the quality of passion. I'm going to be your coachee for today, if we can find a coach. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about. So,
yes, we need a coach for Chuck today. So I'll let you all simmer on that. And whoever feels inspired to be that person, that'll be great. Diane?
Hi, I'm Diane Locke. I'm in Ontario, Canada. And I want to make sure that I'm coming at this with my full presence today. Not that I wouldn't be anyway, but that's important for me.
Thank you. Welcome. Jenny?
Hi, I'm Jenny Van Hoff, and I'm in Spokane, Washington. And I'm just feeling rather curious today, so I'm going to hold that space.
Nice. Thank you. Rhonda.
Yes, I'm Rhonda Bowman, and I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I like Diane, want to have my full presence here today. So I'm turning things off in the background.
Okay. Thank you for the intentionality as well. Nice to see you. Lalia?
Hi, I'm Lalia Palmer. I'm in the San Francisco area. And I missed Monday's class, so I want to be very, very attentive and present to kind of catch up with everybody else, who I'm sure is, yeah.
It's osmosis, like you're just, yeah. You know, it's already here.
Yeah.
Thank you, nice to see you. Yayoi?
Yeah. Hi. I'm Yayoi. I'm from New York. Been here more than 20 years. Originally from Japan. Let's see, never said that. But today I want to focus on being present because I have to leave a little early. So I'm a little anxious about that. So I'm going to try to stay as present as I can while I'm here. So
excellent. There you go. Thank you. And I got that message. So thanks for sharing. And if there's anything that you want to be shared about the coaching session, if you do get to hear it all and we don't get to hear back from you, you can either send it to me privately or put it in the chat, whatever you feel good about doing that.
Thanks,
Yayoi, for letting us know. And Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm calling in from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And I see some of us are also on the West Coast, which is nice. I missed Monday's class. And so today I want to, you said osmosis, join and absorb and relearn this particular characteristic. I think it's important in coaching. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here, Debbie. Canada, we're representing strong today. I'm in Montreal. I'm on the East Coast, but you know, it's always nice. We're all, you know, divided by borders, but I guess worth mentioning, right? There's differences and celebrating those. So I don't want to leave Chuck hanging here because on Monday, there was a volunteer, he graciously volunteered to be a coach. And then there are some people who aren't attending Wednesday or weren't attending Wednesday. So I thought, let's just see who appears today and feels inspired in the moment, who might not have coached already or had the experience at feeling like they want to be coached and to receive positive acknowledgement and to have us listen for what they want us to listen to while they're coaching to strengthen in them those skills and competencies. And so is somebody feeling inspired to coach Chuck? I mean, it's not about coaching Chuck specifically, about coaching. And then you get to coach Chuck. What a bonus. Diane?
I'll do it, yeah.
Okay, great. And already bringing in your presence, which is...
You sounded very excited about the prospect.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll be honest, I always find that it's a little bit vulnerable to either coach or be coached in a class situation like this.
It is, so, yeah, true.
This is stepping out of comfort zone.
Wow, it is vulnerable, and I salute your courage. And isn't that what they say? We grow most in the discomfort, you know, in the stretching. And so I appreciate your willingness to grow and to be in the spotlight in a very caring, accepting space. So may you feel that. We're not going to start yet, but Chuck, you now have a coach, Diane. So really happy about that. And why don't we just take a moment to do a brief connection? So shifting channels, if there's something you're doing and you want to get more focused and present, then now we can just take a moment and tune in to our energy being, into our physical being. And is there somebody who would like to take us through an exercise or an experience that might last anywhere from 30 seconds to 2 minutes? Lalia, I was talking about your wonderful experience last Wednesday. The stretching and taking us out of our seats.
Yeah, nobody else has anything else.
Does everybody want to follow Lalia again? Follow her into ourselves? Okay, Lalia, you're up.
Okay. I'm going to turn my camera off, and I think everybody else should, because just listen to the words. so we don't all feel, you know, silly about how we want to be stretching or how we want to do this. So, okay, just, you can stand up and do this. I am not going to stand personally because I hurt my back. And so I'm better just sitting with this. And everybody should pay attention to anything that might hurt them. Don't overdo anything. Don't push yourself to feel anything that is painful. Just enjoy the experience. And that's the at most what you should be feeling. So for starters, we'll just sit or stand tall, really tall, and shoulders, drop your shoulders. And then very slowly, just raise your arms up towards the ceiling and spread your fingers wide and feel the stretch in your fingers. How often do you feel your fingers stretching? Practically never. And then slowly bring the arms down to your sides, whether you're sitting or standing. And we're going to roll our heads and stretch our necks. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to just drop our chin to our chest. Just go as far as it's comfortable. And then slowly roll it to the right with your right ear going, touching your, well, it's not going to touch, but going towards your right shoulder. You'll feel a nice long stretch in the left side of your neck, but don't overstretch it. Just do as much as comfortable and feels good. And then roll back to your chest, down to your chest. And again, feel the stretch in the back of your neck. And it actually goes into the upper back also. Feel that kind of stretching. Then roll your head to the left, left ear to left shoulder. Feel the stretch on the right. And then roll it back so that you're looking up at the ceiling and you feel a stretch in the front of your neck. But don't, again, don't push it too far back, just as gentle or as much as you want. And then roll it back to the right, touching the shoulder. And then back to the front. And now look up. Raise your shoulders up as high as you can. Roll them back. You can feel the back. You can feel the back, your back kind of being massaged almost with your muscles. Drop them down, the shoulders. Roll them forward and stretch that upper back. Roll them back up so they're touching your ears. And down. And then we're going to do it the other direction. So that's up, forward, down, back, up, and back down. And now we're going to do one more thing. We're going to raise our right arm and we're going to loop it over our head so that your hand, your fingers are touching your left ear. And you're going to kind of gently, not pull, but you're going to tip your head to the right. And then if you're standing, especially, you can even, and if you're sitting, you can actually start to feel the stretch in the left side of your body, of your upper body, just a little bit. Don't fall over. And then come back up. Put your arm back down. Raise your left arm. Loop it over your ear. Bend over to the left as far as comfortable and safe and feel a little bit of the stretch in the right side of your body. This kind of opens up all those organs and kind of gets some blood flowing into those organs that are inside there. And then come back up and then drop your hand. Wiggle, shake out your shoulders a little bit. Take a deep breath, breathe out, drop your shoulders, and just let everything relax. And that's the end. Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you.
All woken up, for me, woken up. For some of you, maybe in the middle of the day also.
Excellent. Thank you, Lalia. Thank you, everybody, for participating. So I'd love to just give some time before we move into the coaching experience. Is there anything, any questions, comments, reflections that have come up since Monday or about this competency, which I will read the definition to? Evoking awareness. So we were distinguishing between the past competency, which was creating awareness, and this one being evoking awareness, incorporating direct communication, powerful questions, and the creating awareness, all wrapped up into this one competency. The definition being facilitates client insight and learnings by using tools and techniques such as powerful questioning, silence, metaphor, or analogy. And so we had a rich discussion, lots of great questions that you brought up, that those who were here present brought up. Some of you were here, some of you weren't. So any questions, thoughts, reflections, comments?
I'll go. Mm-hmm. I think for me, what I've kind of just been chewing on a little bit or meditating on was the thing that Anthea had mentioned about often we can try to go from awareness to action when it comes mm-hmm. to coaching. And then she added this aspect of acceptance and just kind of chewing on the difference between awareness and acceptance. And it's, for me, it kind of lands between a head idea and then like a heart idea. Like, yeah, I understand that up here, but is it really sinking in? Am I claiming some part of ownership around, you know, what I just became aware of? And so that's been kind of fun just to keep chewing on and then seeing how that acceptance actually leads more into the action step of being more convicted of it. You know, it's like, I think I should, I'm aware of it. I should exercise. I'm aware, but you know, am I action steps lining up versus like the acceptance of the awareness? I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I've been mm-hmm. thinking about.
it sounds like you're somewhere between awareness and acceptance. And like, how do those two either partner or like yes. follow, how does acceptance follow awareness?
Yes.
It's a good question.
I had the same thing. As a matter of fact, I wasn't in the session on Monday, but I listened to it and then I emailed it to myself because I thought those three A's meant so much to me, not just in coaching, but in other aspects of my life. And I really thought about if you go from awareness to action, you're not always totally committed to it. Mm-hmm. So you may do something that doesn't stick. And that's what really resonated with me about that, is that there has to be the acceptance. Oh, yes. And here's why. It's like the what and the how or the why I should mm-hmm. do it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you.
I guess the acceptance part, I did think about it too. And I was thinking the acceptance part is really making it your own. Yeah, I think just, you know, not just in coaching, but just, I was thinking about myself too. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking you put your own, you kind of, when awareness is you know it, right? And then acceptance is you put it through your own filters.
Yeah.
And it filters through and gets embodied in you somehow, and then you take action or you don't take action depending on how, you know, how hard, I don't know, how stubborn something is or how situations are. Yeah
Thanks for sharing
that. I have a question. I haven't had a chance to listen to it because I've been traveling, and so, but I will for sure. I'm fascinated by what everybody's saying here. And so how, So the coach evokes awareness, but then does the coach do anything to evoke the acceptance?
Let's fill in. We could just share with you where this came up. Does somebody want to give a little briefing to Lalia around that? The three A's?
The three A's.
I think, Chuck, were you the one who brought it up?
I may have been. That's a big thing to me. If you guys give me a minute, and I'd like to read something to you that I keep on my desk. I think it was the idea that until we accept it, awareness, we have to start with awareness. But until we accept it, it doesn't become real. And let me read this, and then you tell me what you think. All right. This is something I have on my desk. It's from the Big Book of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, the big blue book. One of my clients gave it to me. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. So when I got off the beam, you know, I try to remember to read this. I know it's a little, maybe a little different than what we're talking about, but to me, the acceptance is such an important life skill that if we don't think of that as we coach, helping people get to acceptance. I think we can help people get to acceptance, but I think in the final analysis, they have to make the decision. Yeah, this is real for me and I want to work on it. Otherwise we move on to something they can accept. That's how I think of it anyway.
Thanks for that, Chuck. Really nice. I think what also came up was around change. Like awareness is the first step of change,
yep.
Followed by acceptance, followed by action. I'm not sure whose theory that is. Maybe
Anthea said it. I think
Anthea said it. Okay.
She said it. Yeah.
And she was talking about that. Yeah, that's the same one I use. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's coaches, the process.
Right.
Sorry.
No,
she was talking about as coaches, when we evoke awareness, we often jump to action, but the action can be short-lived if there's not acceptance, real acceptance of what we became aware of, is kind of what Anthea was describing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whose theory this is. I've heard it many times, so I can't acknowledge the source, but I'm interested to know that. I could research it. But.
Yeah, Julie, it's actually the ProSign model for change management. So I have a background in change management, and it's the ADKAR model. So when anyone is going through change, it's awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and reinforcement, hence ADKAR. And whenever I run workshops on change with leaders, we often say, you know, you have to go through the change and accept it first. So I often say, you know, you're as leaders around the virtual room, you know, you are an employee first before we can expect you to be leaders of change. So go through the change, accept it for whatever it's worth, and then help others. But what's also interesting to them,
oh, go ahead. Can you repeat those steps? I'm curious.
Yeah. And I'm happy to also type that in here. It's the ProSci model I didn't make it up, but it's the ProSci model, and it's awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and then reinforcement, also known as ADKAR. And the philosophy behind this is that most leaders, when they push for change, they go right to ability. Here's the change, now do it. And they skip all the steps in the middle there. And where people are stuck the most is at the desire phase, which is the true acceptance. So awareness, in this case, maybe different from coaching, awareness in this case is, why are we having this change? And then you move into desire, which is, now I know why we're doing this change. Do I want to change? Do I accept it? Slightly different for coaching, but similar in how people think.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. There's so many theories and methodologies. And I know, I mean, I can't quote this, but therapeutically, there's also like a space of change and how that happens. I'm sure Chuck knows. And anyways, the awareness, acceptance, action idea, and like, how do we accept? I know this is about awareness, but like acceptance is, yeah, you always think it's like passing through this filter. And like, that's where all the inner work happens, right? It's like, I'm not just going to spring into action if like I'm bumping up against this, you know, bias and this filter and this wound and this trauma. You know, it's just gotta do that work. So glad we're all here being coaches to help clients through that and do our own personal work so that we can hold that space for them too. Does anybody else have any thoughts around that? Or awareness in general?
Well, it brings up a lot of questions for me. So some coaches go in the direction of asking what is the block or the obstacle or the fear or whatever. And some coaching philosophy that I've read or things I've read is suggests to not actually look at that, but to kind of go to what somebody wants rather than what's blocking them from what they want. Mm-hmm. So this to me is kind of part of what this conversation is with in terms of the acceptance is, do we go, how do we approach that to evoke the acceptance? Do we approach it by saying, what's preventing you from doing it? Or through a different way of questioning?
Well, one of the things I've come to believe in, it's true for me, and I ask questions is, to clients sometimes is, well, what do you get out of keeping it the same? Mm-hmm. Because I think you gotta, if you're going to change it, you've got to acknowledge the death of whatever you're getting out of it so you can move to the next thing. And that sometimes then, you know, then it's just let them think, you know, are you willing to give this up? Because, you know, there's always that tension of opposites between what we want to continue doing and what we want to change, mm-hmm. and which one's going to win out. So,
right.
And as coaches, if we're trying to drag someone across the finish line on something they don't want to do, we're not going anywhere. So you all know that.
I like that image.
There's a lot of wisdom there, Chuck. I think, you know, what do you want to get out of being the same? I just wrote that down because I'm going to use that. That's a good one. I once still have a difficult client. Difficult meaning she just can't go there. She just talks about it, what everything is wrong with everyone except for her, you know. And as a coach, I try to hold up that mirror of awareness for her, and it's just really hard. I mean, she's gotten to the point where she said, well, if I could just fire everyone on my team and hire a new team, we wouldn't be having these problems, you know, things like that. And it, you know, a lot of my clients are these, you know, type A investment bankers on Wall Street, you know, so there was this idea that let me just fix it. So what I've tried to do is I try to park it for myself where I feel like, gosh, you could do these things, like, goodness, that's what's going on in my head. And I find that she's not there yet. So I slow it down and I try to, like Chuck, ask questions. And some of the questions I ask are things like, you know, what would that look like if you didn't have to feel this way? What would your team feel like, you know, or, you know, things like that. So I try to use visioning, like, you know, so that there's buy-in for how she wants to be, wants to feel. And sometimes that works, but to Chuck's point, you can't drag them, but then it becomes my agenda. Like, well, you should just fix this, right? But they may not get there. Maybe they'll never get there, but at least we could ask this question.
Sometimes ask, if you were contributing 1% to this problem, what would it be? Besides, you know, you're the one who hired this group of baboons that belongs to you. But besides that, What else? You know?
Mm-hmm. In other words, like to be coachable, one needs to be willing to take responsibility.
You have to. Otherwise, you know, I had one, I'm sorry, the one early on in my career, one of the guys I coached, and I was hired by the CFO, and he talked about 20 minutes about what a jerk the CFO was. And I said, well, let's go down and ask him if he wants me to coach him, because apparently you're fine. This is why I get fired off of so many gigs.
Keeping in integrity. Appreciate that. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I'm Chuck. Impatient. So 20 minutes was way too long of that, you know.
Okay, we're going to keep moving. Lalia, if you tune in to Monday, you're going to hear some great questions that were offered by the group, speaking specifically to that. And there is a place for it in coaching, and it might not be in every conversation that you have with your client. It's in the competencies, you know, what needs to be addressed in order to resolve, you know, in third competency. So thanks for the question. Thank you, everybody, for your wisdom and insight. Let's take a very short 2-minute pause and we'll come back and we'll be in the safe space to hold for Diane and Chuck. 2 minutes. So 36 past the hour. It's okay if you're 37 past. Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. So, Diane, I'd love to ask you, what would you like us to be listening for?
Given that we've been working on evoking awareness, that's probably a good place to start.
Okay.
Evoking awareness, in particular, powerful questions, because that's something I always want to get better at.
In particular, sorry, I missed that.
Sorry, powerful questions.
That's okay. And how do you know you're asking a powerful question or that they're present for you?
For me, it's usually when somebody kind of stops and does that, and needs to think and comes up with something they might not have considered before.
Okay. Anything else you want us to listen for?
No, that's a good start.
Yeah, it is a good start. Thank you. And again, thank you for your courage today and for stepping up to be coach in the space. So just I'll invite you all to, you can listen for what Diane was asking for. And also if there's a specific competency you're wanting to strengthen or listen for, you can do that as well. So it's, I would invite you, Diane, to just watch the time and maybe it'll make it 27 minutes, but if you can wrap it up to the end by 5 minutes after the hour.
After the hour? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
That makes it about 27 minutes. Excuse my phone. All right. So everybody can turn off your videos and mute yourselves. And thank you, Diane. Thank you, Chuck.
So did you want to turn off your video too, or you could?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, awesome. All right. So as I had mentioned before, it's always kind of interesting doing this in front of a class. So I want to create a nice safe space, and I would invite you to try and shut all of that out. I'm going to do the same and stay focused with you.
Okay.
So if this is going to add value, what will you walk away with? What do you hope to get from today?
Already we got a good question here. I think I need to think through something that this, when we're talking about vulnerability, so I'm going to talk about the fact that I feel like I'm a little stale in my coaching work. And what I'd like to be able to walk away with is a little path back to being, to finding my passion again.
That's interesting. Okay, so you're feeling like it's not as passionate as it was at one point in time, and you want to reignite that?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. What's going to be different for you if you fulfill that?
Well, I think for many years, and I've been doing this a long time, for many years, I really looked forward to the sessions, and it feels like more of a job now. It never felt like a job before, honestly. So it feels like that. And I think, and I can't say that I don't look forward to some of my sessions. I do. And then some others, I just, I don't. I feel like, okay. Yes, I got to do it, and I'll do it, and I'll be fully present, and I'll, you know, I'm a professional. I'll do the things that I need to do and be as helpful as I can. But, you know, there's not the joy in it that there used to be in some cases.
Okay. And so when it was feeling passionate for you, when you were enjoying every session, what was different then?
I think I was different, and I think I was different in relative to having more of a beginner's mind and a greater level of gratitude about getting to do the work that I do.
So when you first started, there was that beginner's mind and you were feeling gratitude. Where was the gratitude coming from? Gratitude for what?
I think there's a number of things. I think it was gratitude for the opportunity to help people make change, which is something that makes me feel good. So that was part of it. And then I think over time, there was gratitude for having confidence in my own competence. That makes sense. Finding something that I felt like, yeah, this is the thing I'm meant to be doing. It feels good to me. You know, there's no heavy lifting. It's the kind of work that I value. and is meaningful to me. So I always had that sort of in my mind as I was working.
And that confidence in your own competence, does that link in any way to the beginner's mindset?
Well, I think it's more of an outcome of that. From the standpoint of having the beginner's mindset is the way that you develop competency. And then the confidence, I think, comes from working with people over time and seeing, you know, them flourish and get more of what they want from their career or their life, whatever you're working on. So yeah, I think they're connected, but I think one is really more causal to the other. Okay.
So tell me a little bit more about the beginner's mindset then. What's different now than when you began relative to that beginner's mindset?
Well, I have a theory that there are probably 10 or 12 issues that most coaching clients deal with, maybe all of us deal with, you know, and so things come up on a consistent basis over time. So they're not as novel as they were before. And I just have to be very careful not to think that I have the answers and that, oh, I've heard this one before. Well, I may have, but it doesn't mean that it's the same for this person as somebody I worked with 10 years ago. Plus, I'm different, you know, 10 years in. I have to recognize that and allow for the fact that maybe there are new ways in which I can be helpful, new questions I can ask, ways I can show up that are different. I don't know if I think I lost the thread of your question, but that's what came up for me.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You went where you needed to go with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm hearing then around the beginner's mindset is that it's less novel right now. It's less new. There's it becomes more patterned, and it's not as exciting as it once was.
Yeah, it's not as exciting, and it doesn't feel as challenging in some senses. And I think one of the things that's happened too over time is I seem to have clients that don't have a topic or an issue that they bring to the call. And, you know, this is, I don't know why that's happened. There's usually younger folks. I work with, I don't make a distinction. Like, I've got to work with C-suite people. I don't care. Coaching is coaching, and you help who you can help. But I noticed that in some cases, it's difficult to nail anything down to work on. And I used to find that easy. Now I find it more difficult.
And why do you think it's more difficult now?
These are all good questions, making me think. I think part of it is one of the things I think it may be a function of working in the same companies. I tend to work with the same companies a lot and work with different levels of executives. And I've gotten to a level in some of these companies where people are just younger in their career. They don't really know what they don't know. I mean, we do stakeholder feedback. We do those kinds of things to sort of call out things they could work on. But they don't always bring those things to the fore. So that's part of it. Ask me the question again.
You know what? I just lost my question.
Yeah. So did I. I'm sorry.
You know what? I think I asked what.
What's different about it?
What's different? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's different. And then I think, you know, maybe having done this a long time, it's more, sometimes feels more formulaic. It never felt that way before. And I'm not sure that it is formulaic. It just feels like that sometimes to me, like, yeah, I know what this one is. So that would be, to me, the opposite of a beginner in mind.
Okay. And so what do you think it's going to take to reignite that beginner's mind?
I'm not convinced that I can, and I'm not convinced that I have to. I don't mean necessarily the beginner's mind. I think that can always be part of the picture, but just that maybe I'm looking for a level of passion here that I'm not going to reclaim at this point in time, you know, because just things are different. And maybe this is the natural progression of doing this for 25 years. You get to a point where I'm not trying to indicate that I don't enjoy it or don't, you know, embrace coaching. It's not a huge problem. It's just something that I feel like I miss a little.
Okay. And so if you could kind of project yourself forward a few years, Chuck, if everything was perfect, if it was ideal, if it was exactly what you wanted, what do you see? What does it look like?
Yeah. Well, my business has turned into a lot more leadership development and soft skills training. So I do a lot of training as well as coaching. I think if it was going to be, as you described, sort of a, we call a postcard from the future, you know, I'm there and this is what it looks like. It would be, you know, continuing to do that and then just having a fewer clients that I think have some real issues to work on. I know that's what comes to mind. I suppose all the issues are real, but they bring something to the call, to the session. And I do have, you know, a bunch of those kind of people, but I also have people that I think, what am I going to talk to this guy about today? What am I going to talk to this young woman about today? And I just assume not to have to do that.
Okay. So what I'm gathering then is where you want to see your business evolving to is more on the leadership development, soft skills training side and less on the coaching side, but with the coaching that you do choose to continue doing, it has to be people that have meaningful issues to work with where you feel like you're actually making that difference.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So what are some, what's one step you could take tomorrow that would move you in that right direction with your business?
I think one of the things I can do is, and I'm getting close to the end of my career here too. So, you know, maybe another 5 years if I'm healthy. And I've already kind of started this process, but I think I could do more of it. I tend to get talked into taking on things I don't really want to. Yeah. I got one last week and I thought, just from the description of this, I'm going to blow my brains out if I work with this person. But, you know, my friend, colleague, I don't know. So I said yes. And one of the things I do in my workshops all the time is teach people how to say no. So I think I need to just continue to remember that I don't have to take everything that comes along and that just to be more selective, you know, and I think maybe that will help as well.
I'm going to borrow a question that somebody asked me on Monday that was good for me. So what permission slip do you need to write yourself for this one?
I guess the permission slip is just, and this is something I learned a long time ago and got pretty good at, but I don't know, it's creeping back in, is just that it's not only okay for me to say no, it's important and healthy. And I'm not overwhelmed with requests. It's not that. It's just that, you know, there are just certain things that come along and I go, it doesn't feel right. And usually I, but, you know, lately I've gotten into the bad habit of going, yeah, sure, I'll take them on. I don't know.
So you were really good at it at one point in time and you're not so good at it anymore, being able to give yourself that permission and saying no. What's changed that you're no longer giving yourself that freedom?
Well, one of the things that changed is at the time of that I kind of learned that I had three jobs. So long story, but I was coaching, I was doing therapy, and I was running a clinic. And so, you know, it damn near killed me. And so I finally had to just learn how to say no. And now as my time has opened up in my old age here, where I have a little bit of flexibility, I think, well, you know, am I just being lazy here? Or do I just, you know, I don't want to work? What's the matter with me? Sure, I can do it. And whereas in that period of time when I made saying no a point for myself, something that I was going to focus on and stay with, I didn't have any of that bandwidth. Now I do. But I like the bandwidth. You know, I like to have some time to be able to think, do stuff, you know, exercise, do whatever I want. And there's some part of me that doesn't want to sign off on that permission slip. Okay.
So what has to happen for you to change that part?
Well, today I learned about awareness, acceptance, and action. So I think
where are you at on that?
I think I've got one foot in awareness and one foot in acceptance. And I think, you know, the other foot's making its way over into acceptance at this point. So I think this has just served as a good reminder to some extent about how I got myself back in this position.
Okay. So what's one thing you can do to start moving from that awareness to the acceptance in an immediate manner, like in the short term?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I discovered back in the day when I was working on saying no was that if I was going to do something and resent it later, I should say no in the first place. So I think that would be a good reminder for myself to just go, if this is going to piss me off later on when I'm listening to somebody that I can't, you know, connect with, they won't take responsibility for their stuff, or they're going to talk for an hour and then I'm going to say goodbye, then just don't do it. So that would be a help.
Okay. And so what's been stopping you from doing that?
Well, I think there's a few things. One of them, you know, to be perfectly honest, I'd like to retire someday. So money is one of the issues. I think that's one of them, not the only one, or maybe not even the most important one. And the other one is that I think there's some part of me that thinks if I believe there's any chance I could help, I should do it. Without the recognition that there's plenty of people who can help just as well as I can, maybe better, let them do it.
That's a heavy weight to feel like you should be helping anybody that you can help.
Yeah, it's a disease I've had for my whole life, but I thought I was cured, but I think I had a little relapse there.
Something's been at the back of my mind. So, you know, you're talking about wanting to evolve your business to being more training and more leadership development. That's what's sparking the beginner's mindset or passion at this point. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what's stopping you from doing more of that and less of the coaching or simply, you know, moving the business so it's all that and no coaching?
Well, it's actually headed that way, to be honest. You know, I have one really big contract for training and development with one of my companies, and I do a little bit of coaching with them too. But and then several of the other companies I work with, there are some things in the hopper that will probably push me more in that direction. So it's happening. And I'd like to say I was intentional about trying to make that happen, but it just seemed to, my whole career seemed to go that way. It just, one thing clicked together with the next and opportunities arose and, you know, and I tried to cash in on them. So I think that's already happening. And, but it's that's a good awareness for me to have that this direction is already, this path is already, I'm already on this path. Right. And I forget that sometimes. And I think, you know, whatever is going on today will be going on for the rest of all time.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I'm aware of is there's only so many hours in our day.
Right.
And we can only do so many things.
Right.
So when you're making choices to say yes to coaching, you're making choices to be less intentional about moving the business.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's one of the first things I learned as a coach. You say yes to say something, you're saying no to something else. And I kind of lost a little bit of my connection with that.
And you said that you haven't necessarily been intentional, that things just start to roll in for you. You know, it's just kind of lines up.
Yeah.
Are you interested in being more intentional about it?
No, not really. I'm not. I'm perfectly fine with, you know, whatever the good Lord puts in front of me just to do it, you know. So if I want to, that's the big question, though, is do I want to? And I don't probably take enough time to decide. So in that way, yes, intentionality, yes, for that. But, you know, do I want to put a lot of time and effort into marketing? No, I really don't. I'm trying to, you know, foam the runway to land here for, you know, some point at which, you know, and I don't ever see myself being fully retired, but just be very selective about what I take on.
Okay, so I'm hearing you say the litmus test for you is, you know, in doing this, am I going to feel like I'm adding value? Am I going to feel like it's meaty enough to ignite the passion? And am I going to resent it if I take it on? So yep. What's going to help you to pause in those moments when somebody says, hey, Chuck, will you take this on to run that litmus test for you?
Yeah. What used to work was a little feeling I get in the pit of my stomach that I need to pay attention to. It's probably still there. I had one of these last week with a friend of mine. It's a long story, but the basics are, and she's describing this guy that she wants me to coach. I'm thinking, he's a coconut head, you know, he just doesn't want to hear it, you know? And then she said some things that were more encouraging. So I said, okay, you know, and it's not a big deal. It's not a huge engagement or anything. But I thought, you know, if it was anybody else who had asked me, I would have said no. And I could have said no to her too. So anyway, I think I just need to pay attention, as I did for some time, about, you know, that little still small voice, whatever you want to call it. But for me, it's almost a physical thing. I can feel something go, this doesn't sound right to me. So I think that would be helpful, just to tune back into that.
So what are your takeaways from our time together then?
Yeah, I think that there's no reason I can't get back to being a choice here. And There's no reason I can't say no if I don't want to do something. There is no real good reason to do that. And that I need to be careful of getting back into bad habits. So those are all important. And then I think working towards being more grateful again and working more towards being having that beginner's mind so that I'm not going into a session with people thinking, I've heard all this before. You know, no, nobody wants a coach who thinks that. So, you know, I think all of that awareness is helpful for me. And then once I have the awareness, I'm usually pretty good at figuring out how to implement it. So I think one of the things I can do is ask better questions in my sessions.
Okay. What's going to help you to do that?
I need to toggle through. So usually I have two or three questions going on at the same time. Maybe slow down and get to the question, not one, not two, maybe the third one. Say, this is the better question. Let me ask that. I also need to manage the time with some of my clients who just talk. We'll talk for almost the whole time if I don't stop them. So I think when I don't do that, then I get off of the call and I feel like I've just been assaulted, you know, it's a harangue, a 60-minute harangue, whatever. So, and, you know, and I know how to do it. I do it sometimes. I just say, let me interrupt you for a minute. Otherwise, you know, it's never going to end. So I need to do those things that I used to do that make these tedious sessions less tedious.
Okay.
So, and it's not all of them, obviously, but.
All right. So by pausing and thinking through your options of questions, you can pull out some better ones. And and by managing the time when they start going off on a tangent, it'll feel more fulfilling and less like same old drudgery.
Yeah. And like I have, you know, hey, to use the term self-efficacy, you know, some power in there. Otherwise, it's just like, it's just coming at you, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can appreciate that. Right.
Okay. Yep. So just quickly, kind of two or three things you're gonna do differently then.
Yeah. I'm going to say no when I get that. I'm gonna first tune into that, you know, that little feeling. Ask myself, if I say yes to this, am I gonna resent it? And then I think when I do take on my to make a concerted effort to clear the decks when I go in and just be more open and look for those better questions to ask and then manage the sessions better in terms of just making sure that I don't let people ramble on for 45 minutes. Times it makes sense to do it. I have some execs that they just need to download and that's fine. And then we move on from there. But some folks that just will not, they just won't stop, you know? So, I need to feel like I have some ability to influence that. Okay, great. So those would all be good. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to work with you. It's been lovely.
That was a great session for me. I really appreciate your help. No, not this isn't the class thing. I'm just telling you, I really do appreciate your help. It's very good. Thank you.
Well, you said you were coachable yesterday or the last time, and you're right. You are very coachable. So thank you.
Thank you.
Being coachable.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Chuck, for being you and allowing us to witness, and Diane, for you and your strength as a coach and your vulnerability. And it was a pleasure. So thank you both. It's always such a privilege to be in the space of coaches, to be in the space of live coaching. I don't take it lightly, and I just want to value both of you. And all of you are here and sharing this experience. So thank you. Yeah, it's the humanity, sacredness of it right here, right now. So Diane, how do you feel? How was that? You want to take a few breaths?
Yeah, no, it was good. Like I said, I always find it makes me feel a little vulnerable to be in this kind of a situation where I'm doing the coaching, and so I'm glad I took the leap to do that.
What did you any did you learn anything about yourself here?
Yeah, I question sometimes where I'm adding value and whether I'm adding value. I have those little self doubts in my mind. So it made me realize that I do add value. I can add value. I just need to trust in that more.
Good. For sure. Value was added. So do you want to, and thanks for sharing that. Do you want to speak to the powerful questioning, the evoking awareness, creating awareness, evoking? What is it again? Evoking awareness, but the powerful questions.
I feel like I did ask some powerful questions for sure.
I see you a lot. Yeah.
I have a tendency to sometimes layer my questions or to complicate them. So I caught myself doing that a couple of times. My desire is to try and become a little bit more concise and precise with my questions.
And you had talked about how you know they're present when the client shares a wow or a or something that shifts. Did you feel that was present as you were coaching and even in reflection?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I feel like Chuck at least had pause in several moments. And I think that's an opportunity for somebody to think about things from a different way, different perspective. Mm.
Nice. So we're going to move on. Before we do that, I just want to know, is there anything else that you're noticing about your coaching that showed up for you, that surprised you, or that you want to acknowledge yourself for?
Well, I suppose I said at the beginning of the call, I wanted to be present, and it can be difficult when I've got all of these other little faces, even though they're not there on the screen, but I was able to focus and be present. So I would acknowledge myself for that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. So we're going to move on and offer some feedback in the form of what people saw you doing well and that was strong in your coaching. And I just want to check in with Chuck and also just some technicality. I don't know if you're aware of this on Zoom. You can manipulate the screen. You know that you can move the squares around. So if you wanted to put person next to you or in front of you, you can like move it up to the second tile. I don't know if you know that, but if you just, you can even play around with it now. So that's something that I do. If I'm speaking to somebody and they're in the bottom row, then I move them up to the middle so that it looks as, so that there's some eye contact in the best that we can do it possible way virtually. All right. So Chuck, you already shared some feedback. What else is coming up that you want to share as a client?
Well, let me do two things. Let's share as a client, then let me share as a coach. So as a client, that was outstanding, honestly. You know, there were five or six times, and I can't remember the questions, but just it made me stop and think about things that I needed to think about. And it was clear to me that, you know, Diane was locked in, you know, and asking me questions that were on point for every single thing that I introduced. And I was a little all over the place, but she kept me, you know, kind of back on the rails there. So I thought that was terrific. And then I thought, you know, I didn't hear you stack any questions on you. And I just heard really clear, concise questions that went to the point and allowed me to answer and gave me enough room to do that without any, I didn't feel you pushing me in any direction or looking for, you know, to cure anything. You know, so I don't know. It was, to me, a really good session that we made a lot of progress in a really short period of time. At least for me, I feel like that. There was just cleared out a lot of stuff. So, yeah, that was outstanding.
Incredible. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chuck. Yayoi, I can feel your enthusiasm bursting through the screen.
No.
I don't know if you want to go next, but I just feel like
I was just typing in my comments. Sorry.
No, I love it. It's great. Nothing to be sorry about.
No, I think Diane said that, you know, she wanted to ask more powerful questions. And I was like, no, you asked like a ton of powerful questions. And they landed really well. I mean, you could see Chuck like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. Or he started to, it really helped him to think and focus. And I think that's actually very, very good coaching. So I think that was really great. And you were totally evoking awareness, helping him evoke awareness through those questions. So I thought that was really, really strong coaching. And I was like, yeah, go, you know? And you wouldn't let him, he was trying to like slip by and like, kind of like, you know, get out of answering the questions, but you kept on asking in different ways. And I think that really helped him to realize I'm not gonna get away with trying to calm my way out of this one. So I thought that was great. Thank you for sharing, both of you, yes.
Thank you for your observations and feedback. If anybody wants to bring in specific evidence, you can do that as well. And this is great. Thank you so much. I mean, we feel the evidence, you know. Who's next?
I'll go. Diane, I thought your coaching was fantastic. I loved some of the, just on powerful questions, some of the things that I picked up was what is different? What was different when you had a beginner's mind? Versus now, and then why do you think it's more difficult now? And then I loved how this question came up a few times, but you asked what's stopping you? And what popped up for me is as a coach, I think sometimes we project that powerful questions have to be these huge, elaborate, super amazing things. And sometimes just asking the most basic question at the right time and then asking it again when they ended up being powerful and they don't have to be, you know, 700 words or super colorful. And so I thought your questions were really powerful and powerfully timed as well. And then when you asked him to project himself forward and see himself into the future, I saw a shift in Chuck's thought process into potential, like shifting from what is into potential. And that was kind of fun to see. So it was a fun session to watch. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Debbie.
Well, it was really interesting, right? And we've all been there where you go in and you hear it, hear the initial comments, and you're like, oh, I guess we're going to be talking about this. And then the evolutionary process turns right around to a different direction. And so, Chuck, we were all there with you because I think we've all been there. We're like, oh, man, this is hard. Or, you know, I'm not feeling that passion again. So I personally felt reinvigorated about my own views with coaching. But so I just want to say, I really like, Diane, the questions you asked. Very powerful. Everything that everyone's been saying, I think I echo the same similar sentiment. I thought it was really powerful when it was a pivotal point when your questions went from, hey, let's explore about the coaching to, and we went a bit deeper into, wait a minute, it's actually Chuck taking on things he doesn't feel passionate about. It's not aligned to his values. And, you know, and then learning how to say no, like we went down that path that I thought was brilliant. And he wouldn't have gotten there without your questions. I think there are some coaches that might just focus on, well, come on, let's reignite that passion in coaching. And, but no, you took it on a deeper level. And some of the questions you asked were similar, what's stopping you? What's going to help you do that? I thought was good. What permission slip do you need? I love that one. I copied that one down. And what's one step you could take tomorrow to move towards this? I really like that. So in sum, I just have to say that that took a lot of like tremendous amount of energy and active listening to listen to what Chuck is really saying. And you went there with him. So congratulations.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
Beautiful insight. Thank you for reflecting that back, Debbie. Did I see a hand, Lalia?
You myself. Yes. Hi, Diane. Well, congratulations. I empathized with your nervousness. You haven't been along with us from the beginning. I've done it twice, so I know what you mean. But you just aced it. I mean, you just, that whatever your nervousness or whatever about being observed, whatever, you were present for Chuck, and that was the most important thing as far as you were concerned. So, bravo. Yeah. I liked how you interjected. I mean, at the end, you had it wrapped up for what his next steps were going to be and for his taking responsibility. But you also continue to interject that in the middle. You know, what's one thing? What are you going to do next? Whatever. So you kind of kept it on track, and then it came so that it was very easy at the end to kind of say, hey, let's sum this up. What's next? So, and then I thought it was pivotal, and it was an example to me of acceptance. And there was a question, I don't remember, I think it was the one looking forward, where Chuck came to that acceptance of where in his career he was, where he would wants to be. And I thought that was a turning point from what I was seeing in terms of acceptance, actually, because once that was acknowledged, he could go forward, right? Then he could take, then he knew what would be the action. So that was a very cool example of what I was trying to look for today, since I had missed Monday. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lalia. Thank you.
I'll go.
Yeah,
go ahead, Rhonda. I'm the only one left. I'll go. again, Diane, it was great. And a lot of what I was going to say has already been said, but super powerful questions. A few that I wrote down were, what's going to be different for you if you do that? What was different then? So really searching there with him. Why do you think it's more difficult now? What's been stopping you from doing that? I know others have mentioned that. But one of the things that it just kept happening through the entire half hour, you'd ask a question and then there'd be a pause. And you didn't feel compelled to jump in and build onto that question. You just held the space for Chuck and allowed him to process each of those questions before you said anything else. And that whole, just watching that happen was so powerful, watching the story build through the pauses.
Nice. Thank you. All these beautiful, unique reflections and observations. So I want to share, I just got this image as Rhonda was talking about how it almost felt like you were partnering with Chuck through an obstacle course. And at each apparatus or event, you're like, okay, let's do this. How are we going to get over this? I know you can do it. I want to just like, let's build your strength because you need this muscle to go over this part. And you've got it. Okay, now we're past that. What's next? You know, and I just felt like you were partnering with him throughout this like obstacle course of like, how are we getting to the finish line? But I'm right there with you and I'm championing you on, but I'm also exploring alongside you about like, how can you do this best? And you got to the finish line, you know, and I felt this presence about you that was partnering and was, I feel it's interesting that Lalia, where are you? There you are. You brought this up. Like, what does it mean to challenge, you know? You asked that, right? Is it okay to challenge? And I felt like this whole session, as you said, Lalia, too, it's like, this is what you asked for, was precisely exhibiting Competency 7.2 challenges the client as a way to evoke awareness or insight. Like one question after the other. Challenge, challenge, challenge. What does challenge mean? We talked about the semantics of challenge, you know, as the word in the last session. I just felt like it's probably in your nature as well. I mean, you can, this may or may not be true, but to really want for that person to get it, you know, to get something. And I felt your heart and curiosity and partnering in wanting to go there with them and have them arrive. And it was just very potent and obvious. Like, I felt like this was like a demonstration of competency number seven. I know you asked for that, but you really delivered on that one question after the next. And each question, as everybody's sharing, you know, was powerful in its own right. And also we saw it in this, the pause, in the reflection, in the, let me think about that. Oh, that's a good one. You know, it was evident and obvious. So that was really nice to see and experience.
Nice, Julie. I appreciate that.
And even in the, and Chuck, he's like, you know, he said, we got there, you know, it was clear that it was felt that like, it was the two of you together going there. And so the questions that everybody shared, you know, what will be at the top, what will be different for you if you fulfill that? So you're talking about reigniting the passion. What were you feeling passionate about? Like, what's different now? You also asked about gratitude. So you opened up all of these boxes. What's more difficult now? And then also, I agree, there was a huge shift when you said, if you could project yourself, if you can vision your ideal, you know, and that also shifts. It shifts what's happening in our neurocircuitry. Like, we move into the more parasympathetic state of like ideal, and we start to relax a little bit. We get into this vision state. So it's not in like survival, I've got to figure it out and make it work, but it's like, oh, it's possible. So something's actually happening physiologically. And that's, there's a book. Have you read the book? I have it right here. What's it called? Helping People. Let me just grab it because I'm referencing from that. So I just want to give it some. Talks about the questions, helping people change, coaching with compassion for lifelong learning and growth by Richard I never pronounce his name properly, Boyatzis, Melvin Smith, and Ellen Van Austin. So he talks about the different types of questions. So it just made me think about how the visioning question, so perfectly placed at the right time. Look at Chuck. It shifted the rest of the session. Thought that was beautiful. So I thought that you did a great job with your questions, and they were strong and solid, and your presence was really, you know, powerful and challenging in the best of ways.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So how does it feel to hear this, Diane?
A little overwhelming, actually, but in a positive way. So thank you. Very positive.
Anybody have any other thoughts or reflections before we do a go around? I know that I can share that. Sorry if I was going to interrupt someone, but I do feel like it was a privilege to be able to experience this, considering what we talked about on Monday and just the beautiful synchronicity of, you know, what does it mean? Like, is it okay to challenge a client? You know, that came up, like, what is it? What does challenging a client mean? You know, is there a negative connotation? Jenny was saying how she loves a good challenge, right? And actually the permission slip, right? That was one of the questions you put forward. And so I just feel like this is like a beautiful demonstration. I said that already, of like how, yes, this is what challenging a client looks like. One of the things, there are other ways too, that you evoked awareness, but that was what stood out most for me. So who wants to share as we close up for today?
I'm going to start because I might have a call that's coming in right in 2 minutes or so. Okay. So I want to be sure I get off. I go back to that first word Chuck used, passion. And so, you know, I thought this was a great example of being passionate about coaching and just passionate about the questions and passionate about the client and reigniting that. So I'm always reignited every time I go through one of these classes. So thank you.
Thank you for bringing your passion and curiosity and questions, Lalia.
I'd like to follow up on that. Sorry, Debbie. Just on the fact that I've noticed that I did it for sure after my coach, when I coached, and I was like, and you know, Diane mentioned, just kind of wondering if there was value in it for Chuck. I think Lolly had mentioned it when she coached. And so just noticing that as coaches, often when we're in the coaching seat, we're questioning what the client is getting. But every time I've witnessed any coaching take place, the client is always like, oh my gosh, it was so beneficial. So just that reminder that when I have been coached, I don't think I walked away from one session where I didn't learn something. And then turning that back around and just being aware of the self-talk around my coaching persona. And this has been a great place to see both sides of that play out. And it's been a real blessing. So thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. So nice. Debbie.
Just off of that, the values and it was a nice reminder of why we do what we do. And just because we're good at it doesn't mean that we should be doing it. You know, just because I'm really good at coaching investment bankers doesn't mean I should do that for the rest of my career. And I have a feeling that Chuck and I have very similar clients. So for me, it was a real takeaway for me today is just refreshing what I really want to do and being intentional about that. Because I think all of us have that quality of empathy. And when people want our help, we're like, yeah, I'm here for you. And sometimes it doesn't serve us. And I've been in long coaching engagements where I'm like, why did I take this on? And it's painful and I don't get much from it. So Chuck, thank you for that wonderful reminder.
Thank you. Yep.
And I'll
thank
go,
you, Debbie. Yep.
I can go really quickly. We're at the bottom of the hour. I know it's really hard to do it in a fishbowl. It can really make you nervous whether you're the coach or the client, and it can make you nervous being in the fishbowl. But I just simply, I felt like I was at a masterclass.
Yeah. Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Thank you, Rhonda. And we will be, I'll leave time, but I know I'm over 1 minute working on it. Monday, facilitating number 8. Facilitates client growth. We'll be talking about that. So whoever will be here, I'm welcoming you in advance. Diane and Chuck, do you want to say something else?
I'm just glad I stepped out of the comfort zone. It reminds me I got to do it more often.
Thanks, Diane, for doing that. And Chuck?
Yeah, I just wanted to say two things. One is, you know, Diane was challenging, but it never felt oppressive in any way. I mean, I knew it was done for my benefit. So I could feel that. And I felt that because she was so connected to what I was talking about. And the other thing that we did, and I don't think we highlighted that, is she got me to realize I'm further along on the path than I thought I was. And that really didn't dawn on me until the very end of the session. But, you know, because of all those questions, what it used to be like, all those kinds of things, I realized, yeah, it's different, but in some ways much better. It's good. It's great. That was a great session. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you both. And always a pleasure. See you on Monday or next Wednesday. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Take care, everyone.
All right. Bye. Bye now.